All right. A number of months ago, I met with Muriel Wiebe, their director, and we agreed that today was going to be a concert. I thought we'd start the new year off a little bit differently, in a different fashion, so you see that we're kind of set up a little bit differently, but I know that that's okay. Sometimes we need to just kind of change it up a little bit in this new year, and there's some people who have been just asking, could we have a choir? Because we don't normally have choir, but today we have an awesome all-male choir, and I'm looking forward to hearing. I was a part of a choir all my years at Bible college, and so if somebody's singing over there, that'll be me, okay? But I just sing along with choirs. That's kind of what I feel led to do. But I hope that you'll hum along and enjoy this service. And the theme of the service is really praise to God. As we're starting this year, I thought that's really the theme of bringing in a choir and sort of the last theme of the message this morning, as we're going to be studying Nehemiah, and we'll just look at how all that happens in Nehemiah's life, he gives glory to God, and we'll end our service with a doxology as well. So that's where we're going today, but I want to invite everyone to stand. We're going to sing a congregational song as we start. It's called Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. You may be seated. Muriel.
Good morning. Whoop. Thank you, Pastor Perry, for inviting us, allowing us to be here to join you in your worship service. Thank you very much. My name is Muriel Wiebe, and at the piano is Lori Chang Shivji, and we are the Master Singers, spelt M-A-S-T-E-R apostrophe S, meaning men singing for their Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. This chorus represents 11 denominations, 33 churches. So we don't attend one church. We come from all over the city of Calgary and Airdrie and, help me out, guys, Okotoks. And we get together one Monday, oh my goodness. I think it's the mic's fault. We rehearse every Monday evening, and we sing once a month in churches in and around Calgary. If there are any men here who might be interested in singing in a choir, come and talk to any one of us following the service, and we'd be happy to give you the details. And if you'd like to go to our website, it's themastersingers.org, and you'll get all of our information there. Thank you again for the privilege with you this morning.
The guys would love it if they could shut me off like that.
Thank you.
Come, let's bow down in worship and let's kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you give us reason to sing. Every day your mercies are new, every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Your love reaches from heaven to earth. And the fact that you died for us gives us such incredible worth, such incredible joy, such incredible affirmation. And the fact that you are coming again to take us home gives us hope. And so we continue to worship you. And we want to focus our mind and our eyes on you. And we want to do that today. We thank you, God. We could never outgive you. But we do want to give back to you a part of that which you've given to us. And so even as we collect this offering this morning, we say thank you. Thank you for the privilege of having something to give. Thank you for the fact that we can give to you and we know where every good thing comes from. It comes from you, the Father of lights. So we thank you and we pray that you might continue to produce in us lives of obedience and hearts of praise for all that you've given and done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Just trying to find a little place. There's just so many of us. Hi, Jack. How are you, buddy? I'm just seeing guys that I know for a long time. Just a couple of announcements before we continue the concert. And so the first announcement, if we could just have a couple of the... Sunday, January 26th, 1 p.m., there's going to be a free lunch. I know there's no free lunch. I know the world says that, but at the church, it's different. There is a free lunch, and it's for all who are somewhat interested or undecided about the building project. You haven't heard about it, but you will if you come on that day. So I want you to figure that in, and if you look real closely at that picture, you've seen something that nobody else has seen in our church. So there you go. That's a part of what we're going to be talking about, the building proposal. So you need to come. Okay, quickly turn that slide before we give too much away. January 31st, if you'll open up your bulletins, you'll see a nice color copy. You say, now why did we waste all that money making a nice color copy? Because that's your invitation to a friend. So we have a free movie night, January 31st. It's the fifth Friday when some of our home groups don't meet, but it's a movie, Overcomer. It was in the theaters just last summer, and it's a great movie, especially for young people. And so for all ages here, young people, older adults, whatever, it's a great movie. And so we want to invite you to come and enjoy that with us. So snacks at 7, and the movie starts at 7:30. And y'all, men, you're all welcome to come. Bring your wives, and that's cool. Okay. Next announcement, I call up Enoch and Corliss. Oh, you got the other mic. Now I know how it goes.
Hello? There you go. Finally, some people my age. Hi. Sorry, that was a joke. My name is Enoch. I am one of 6 members of the leadership committee. We just want to talk to you about what's going on with Crossroads. So Crossroads has now evolved, and we've turned into Young Adult Life Groups and Anastano. So myself, Lincoln, and Chelsea are in charge of the Young Adult Life Group, and we're currently going through a discipleship series. And we meet every other Friday. So we just met this past Friday, so we'll meet in 2 weeks' time. So anybody who wants to learn about discipleship is more than welcome to come.
Yeah, and myself, Sam, and Ephraim, we are leading the new Anastano, which is revive in Greek. we're leading that group. That's around the age group of those who are in university and just starting their career. Our group will be going through, for the next few months, the topic of Sabbath and what God had meant for it to be. So you guys are welcome to come and show up for that.
Okay, and every other Friday
yes,
as well?
Yes, every other Friday as well, and we also just met this past Friday.
Okay, and every once in a while, you guys will all get together?
Yeah, so every once in a while, we'll all get together with both Anastano and the life groups, but we'll also spend some time with the teens group, and we'll have other activities other than just small
okay.
group as well.
But I'm not supposed to call it Crossroads anymore.
Yes.
And if I sin, forgive me, because I'm sure I will. That's only been 5 years that I've trained to learn that. You also wanted to make an announcement about Panama mission trip.
Correct. So this is just a reminder for the Panama missions trip. The forms are due the 26th of January, so that's 2 Sundays from now. If you have any other questions or if you're just slightly interested, please come to me or you can email me. I believe it's still in the bulletin, my email, for if you have any questions, if you want more details. The requirements say over 18. That doesn't just mean the young adult's age. That's open to anyone over 18. So please, if you have any interest, just contact me, and this is a friendly reminder that the form is due.
All right. Thank you very much. Muriel and the Master Singers, back to you. Well, thank you very much again for the this concert from the Master Singers. Have you ever sent out a resume for a job? I'm sure most of you have. Except for some of our young people, you still have that joy to look forward to. Here are some snippets from actual resumes that you'd probably agree are total fails. Received a plague for salesperson of the year. See, I think he or she meant plaque. You know, the Q and the G, they're very close. Here's another one. It's best for employers that I not work with people. That's an attempt at honesty that was probably better left unsaid. Everybody has to work with others sometime. Here's another one. I'm a perfectionist and rarely, if ever, forget details. Yeah. Check those resumes for errors and don't boast about what you're not. Here's another one. Instrumental in ruining entire operation for a Midwest chain store. I think he or she meant running the entire operation. You know, one letter makes a big difference, doesn't it? I finished 8th in my class of 10. I don't know. Words fail to comment on that one. It's kind of like telling somebody just before an operation, remember that 50% of the doctors graduated on the bottom half of their class, right? You don't want to know that. Here's one more. References, none. I've left a path of destruction behind me. Okay, so we're just going to toss all those resumes in the wastebasket. Nehemiah had a pretty impressive resume, actually. Instead of leaving a path of destruction behind him, he wanted to undo the path of destruction left behind in Jerusalem. Nehemiah's resume would include the following accomplishments. A cupbearer to the king for many years. You know, as a cupbearer, he didn't just eat and drink well. He was a close personal advisor with a lot of influence. Served in the court and well connected with the power brokers of Persia. Never allowed my boss to get poisoned. I'm sure he would have put something like that down. Optimistic personality, right? His sadness wasn't tolerated in the court of the king. Know how to ask good questions, we learned last week. Concerned about problems, oppression made him mad and poverty makes him sad. We'll see as we go along in this series. Have a strong conviction about God's character, confess my sins on a regular basis, have confidence in God's promises, and ready to lead the project and willing to move 800 miles to make it happen. So that's basically a summary of what we learned last week in the opening chapter of Nehemiah's memoirs. Before Nehemiah could build the outside wall, he needed to align his heart with God in prayer. And if you missed the message, you can always catch up by going to southgatealliance.net, click on sermons, and there it is. Last week we did a quick summary of Israel's history, where they fell away from God. It resulted in the destruction of Jerusalem, its temple, and its walls in 586 BC. We don't have time this morning to go through this again. Again, I can point you back to last week, but if you read the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, or the minor prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, you'll get even more out of this teaching series that we're doing. Okay, so Nehemiah had some excellent qualities as a man of God and as a worker in the real world. So let's examine them together as we look at Nehemiah chapter 2, his journals in our series, Let's Rebuild. First of all, chapter 2, verse 1. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. We know from chapter 1 of Nehemiah's journals that he had a vision of what needed to be done. He wanted to see the walls of Jerusalem rebuilt. But he didn't rush ahead. He waited patiently for the right moment. The closing verse in chapter 1 indicates that he wanted success today in the presence of the king. And that was the month of Chislev, which would be December. In chapter 2, it's already the month of Nisan. It's April. In Nehemiah's prayer journal, nothing was entered for 4 months because nothing important happened. Maybe the king was on holidays for a while. Maybe Nehemiah was just waiting for the right moment. Have you ever had to wait on God in prayer? You prayed about something and a week later, a month later, a year later, there's still no change. Friends, time waiting on God is never wasted time. Prayer warriors must wait patiently. Quiet reflection may have provided Nehemiah with fresh insight about how to approach the king. Praying and waiting often go hand in hand. Psalm 37:34 says, "Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he'll raise you up to inherit the land." Now here's a question. Do you believe that God can change the heart of your boss? Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He guides it wherever he pleases." And it doesn't matter if your boss is a believer or not. God hardened Pharaoh's heart and softened it as he willed. What you need to understand is that God's in control. God can bend the heart of your boss in whatever direction that he chooses. Hudson Taylor once said, "It's possible to move men through God by prayer alone." Nehemiah waited for a moment when God would open up the heart of the king. And until that time, Nehemiah kept doing his job well. Friends, wait patiently for God to work. But in the meantime, keep doing your job. Whatever God's already called you to do. We know that Nehemiah was a diligent worker because when he asks for a leave of absence, the king and the queen want him to come back. If you took a leave of absence, would your boss want you to come back? All right, here's a second principle we can find from this passage. Take a risk when God prompts you to. Chapter 2, verse 2, "I hadn't been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid. But I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? See, the king asked Nehemiah a question to find out why he wasn't his chipper self. And when the king noticed that he was sad, Nehemiah was very much afraid. In those days, people who were sad or depressed could quickly lose their jobs or their lives in the court of the king. The king's court was supposed to be a happy place. Every meal in the king's presence was a happy meal, right? That's not a reference to McDonald's, actually. But there's another reason this was a risky job situation that made Nehemiah afraid. Nehemiah planned to ask the monarch of the Persian Empire to reverse a written policy that he'd made years earlier about Jerusalem's reconstruction. See, this edict was recorded in Ezra 4:21. The king said, now issue an order to these men to stop work so that this city will not be rebuilt until I so order. When you ask your boss to change his or her mind, it's a risk. When you ask the king of the Persian Empire to change his mind, it's a huge risk. Artaxerxes had a reputation for being impossible to change. You know, lots of employees play it safe and never take any risks. Nehemiah trusted God enough that when he felt God prompt him, he took a big risk. There's a time to wait, and there's a time to risk. What are you afraid of this morning? Some of you are maybe afraid of the past. You're worried that something you did long ago will catch up to you. Maybe you're afraid of the present and find yourself crippled by the fear of people or speaking in public or losing your job in this economy. Others of you might be fearful about the future, even death. In the best-selling book called Who Moved My Cheese, the author asks a very penetrating question. He says, what would you do if you weren't afraid? And he points out that it's often fear that keeps us from taking the steps that we know we need to take. Fear can paralyze us. And there certainly are some concerns as we move into a possible building campaign, but we can't let that keep us from following God's leading as a church. Nehemiah's faith was greater than his fear, and he did the right thing because he believed the promises of God. And notice what happened. He said, I was very much afraid, but I said. Instead of paralyzing him, fear propelled Nehemiah to take action. Months of prayer had prepared him for these crucial minutes. Courage filled him when he realized it was no longer possible to hide his grief. It just finally kind of erupted. It boiled over. And then using wisdom, he affirms his boss by saying, long live the king. And he explains why he's sad. He says, why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? He answered a question with a question. That's pretty wise. And did you notice that he never mentions the name of the city, Jerusalem? See, Jerusalem's history of independence might have turned the king's thoughts towards questions of politics and national security. Instead of going political, he chose the personal route. That's usually pretty effective. It's a cry from his heart that touches the king's heart. And effectively, he said, I want to honor the burial place of my fathers. And that makes a lot of sense because the king of the Persians, they honored their dead as well. Nehemiah's fear could have led him to be timid. Instead, he took the opportunity to take a risk and he made a big ask. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, the king said to me, what is it you want? Nehemiah said, then I prayed to the God of heaven. See, before answering the king of heaven, Nehemiah briefly needed to speak with, before answering the king of Persia, Nehemiah briefly needed to speak with the king of heaven. And this had to be a short prayer because it happened between the time when the king asked him his question and when he answered, right? So I picture him sending up an arrow prayer or in contemporary jargon, doing some instant messaging with God, right? Lord, help me now. Like, he obviously didn't have time to drop to his knees, bow his head. His emergency prayer was backed up by 4 months of fasting and intercession. See, this is encouraging. We can pray at any time, in any place, by sending up a brief prayer to God. Right before we have to give an answer to our boss, before responding to our spouse, when disciplining our kids, when looking for a way to impact our neighbors for Christ, say a brief prayer. Prayers don't have to be long. They don't have to be audible to be effective. We need to make good use of these chance moments to send up popcorn prayers to God. I'm convinced this is the only way to fulfill 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where we're challenged to pray continually through the day. Breath prayers are okay. Some people think that prayer isn't allowed in schools. You can pray short, silent prayers in public schools without asking your principal. And as long as there are final exams, there will be prayer in schools. Amen? Okay. Let's move on. Be clear about what you're asking your employer to do. I think this is very important. Nehemiah answered the king, "If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it." Nehemiah was asking for a leave of absence to do mission work. But he doesn't just say, "Let me go." He says to the king, "Send me." He's asking the king, in front of the whole court of Persia's nobles and diplomats and advisors, to send him on a mission trip at the king's expense. It's probably not how he envisioned the moment kind of all working out, but that's how God arranged it in his sovereignty. Jesus builds his church in full view of the world, and in that confidence, we go as his representatives to build what's destroyed. And now all eyes go on to the king. What will he say to this brazen request? I mean, it could be considered subordination, and right? I can picture the nobles in the hall. They're holding the breath. Rebuild Jerusalem? That center of rebellion and sedition? But God was in the request, the timing, and was turning the heart of the king favorably to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah asked for three things. He starts by asking for permission. And before he answered, the king wanted more details. See, then the king with the queen sitting beside him asked me, "How long will your journey take? And when will you get back?" "It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time." I also said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he'll give me timber to make beams for the city gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I'll occupy." Friends, praying doesn't mean you don't plan. The presence of faith doesn't mean the absence of organization. Nehemiah practiced both dependent praying and deliberate planning. Some people think that all you got to do is pray, and others focus exclusively on planning. It shouldn't be either or. This is a both and. We're called to pray and we're called to plan well, to worship and to work, to make requests and to fill out requisitions. Nehemiah knew how to answer the king's questions. He anticipated the question related to how long his journey would take. So when the king asked, Nehemiah gave him a time frame. He also knew the journey to Jerusalem would be dangerous, so he asked for letters on the king's stationery, which would give him safe passage through the different territories he came across. And he didn't stop there. His ask just keeps growing and growing. Friends, when you're on a roll with God, why stop, right? Go big or go home. If you're going to rebuild the walls, you need gates. If you're going to rebuild gates, you need lumber. If you need lumber, you need to source it. And Nehemiah asked for lumber supplies. He asked for permission to take some timber out of the king's forest. He wasn't just asking for like a gift card to the keg or something. He'd done his research. He knew the keeper of the king's lumber yard was named Asaph. He asks by name, and Nehemiah even asked for some lumber for a personal residence. He knew he needed a place to live while all the work was going to happen. Friends, if you're trying to convince your boss to start a new project, think it through in terms of objectives, costs, deadlines. Planning is hard work, but good leaders do their homework. There was a saying in the Revolutionary War, "Trust in God, but keep your powder dry." Pray, but make plans. Set your sights and think through the hurdles. Faith in God isn't a substitute for careful planning. On the contrary, faith in God requires us to get ready because we believe he's going to do something to bring his kingdom to reality on earth. And here's the kind of the key point of our theme of the service this morning. Give glory to God. Look at verses 8 and 9. And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my requests. So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king also sent army officers and cavalry with me. Nehemiah made a big ask, and God turned the heart of the king to open wide with permission, the protection and provision. It was 1,300 kilometers from Susa to Jerusalem. It was a 1 to 2 month journey. But Nehemiah gave testimony to the goodness of God in answering his prayers, guiding his mind, directing his speech, meeting his needs. He says, and because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king answered my requests. See, all in all, Nehemiah asked not just for one thing, but three things: permission and protection and provision. And the king said yes to three out of three. This was a mind-blowing hallelujah trifecta. It was a moment of divine opportunity. Only God could have brought about such a dramatic change in the king's mind. Nehemiah knew that the king's permission, protection, and provision were really God's permission and protection and provision. The Lord rendered this decision. For 4 months, he had faithfully bombarded the throne of God. He said, send me to Jerusalem. Change the heart of the king so I can go. Give me the green light. And the king offered to do more than Nehemiah ever expected. He sent the cavalry and letters of provision for everything that he needed. And when his boss approved his request for a fully paid leave of absence, Nehemiah was careful to give God the glory. It's like what Psalm 118:23 says, the Lord has done this. It's marvelous in our eyes. Glory to God. Friends, as we start thinking about whether to build an additional building on our campus, I'm confident that we'll see the gracious hand of God upon us. And we need to pray about it. We need to wait for God's timing. We also need to be willing to take a risk when God prompts us and have a concrete, well-thought-out plan. And then we'll see God do something truly amazing. And when he does, what are we going to do? We'll testify about his gracious provision, and we'll say, all the glory goes to God. Amen? Oh, and one last thing. Verse 10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. I'm not going to say a lot about this today, but overcoming opposition is a continual theme in the book of Nehemiah. It's a story of resilience. Time and time again, we're going to see opposition rise up to oppose the work that Nehemiah wants to do. If you've ever tried to do something that hasn't been done before, there will be naysayers. Yeah, it won't work. Can't be done. Costs too much. We don't have enough money. Whatever, when you walk by faith and seek to lead, there'll always be some people who walk by sight and they don't share your vision. But remember, experiencing criticism and opposition doesn't necessarily mean you're not hearing clearly from God. It may reinforce the fact you're doing exactly what God wants. So come back next week and we'll see how Nehemiah deals with obstacles and opposition. He doesn't lose his focus when he faces opposition. He calculates the obstacles. He organizes the people. Just know that in any work of God, there will be opposition, trials, challenges, and difficulties. And the question is, are you wise in the way you handle opposition? And are you resilient enough to persevere? Well, there's some timeless principles in this story. Number one, changing hearts is God's work. If you've got a boss or a coworker, a spouse, a child, even a parent that you'd like to change, don't try methods of manipulation. Keep praying and asking God what he wants you to do in your situation and wait on him for his timing. God, who changes the heart of the king, is working while you're waiting and praying.
Second lesson, faith is no substitute for careful planning. While you're waiting on God, it's good to think through an appropriate plan of action for your work. Having a good plan will help your boss say yes to what you're asking for. Number three, expect opposition. If God opens a door of opportunity and he's led you to take a risk, then press on. Number four, lead from the second chair. Nehemiah had unique access to and influence with the king of Persia. And he used that influence for God's glory and the good of his nation. God expects us to use what we have, the influence that we have, to build his kingdom. Are you leading well from the place of influence that you have? It might be the second chair. But friends, we see in Scripture a lot of people lead from the second chair. Joseph, Esther, Daniel, and Nehemiah. So God has put you where you are. Use that position of influence. And number five, give God the glory for everything he provides. Ultimately, everything we have is from God. He's our provider. He's our real boss. It's the Lord Christ you're serving, Paul says, not the one who sits behind the desk. The king asked some important questions. He asked, "Why are you sad? What do you really want to achieve? What resources do you need to accomplish the task? And when are we going to see you back at work?" And Nehemiah was ready because he'd been praying, dreaming, and planning in his mind for 4 months. What are you praying and planning for in 2020? Are you ready to go when God says, "It's time"? Go now. Well, we've kind of gone a little over time, and I'll apologize to the Cantonese congregation, but I want us to stand and close our time with singing the doxology. Let's all rise. Somebody asked me once, what does that word doxology mean? Well, the word doxa is praise, and ology is always the study. And so this is our study of praise. This is our service of praise. This is the primary purpose. The chief purpose of mankind is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Let's close with this song. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ go rest and abide with each one of you. Thank you again, Master Singers. God bless you. See you all back next week for part three in our series of Let's Rebuild. God bless you. We'll go out these doors, and please say hi to all.